Chapter 4. To Grandmother's House We Go.
Does this mean I messed up the story when I fell on the hunter? Jonah asks.
I nod. It seems you did indeed mess up the story. Jonah's cheeks flush.
So, what do we do now?
I think we have to save Little Red, I say. Jonah's eyes bug out.
You mean we have to cut open the wolf's belly to free Little Red and her Nana?
My stomach heaves. Oh, I hope not. That's really, really gross. I was thinking more like we stopped the wolf from eating them in the first place.
Ah, got it. That makes more sense.
But how do we do that? Jonah asks, frowning. I guess we go follow her, I say. I stand up and gaze down into the woods. I can still hear Little Red singing faintly in the distance.
And leave the sleeping hunter?
Jonah asks, glancing back at the snoring man. Help is on the way, remember? I say. And we don't have time to wait for the doctor if we want to stop Little Red before the wolf gets her.
Okay, I'm ready, Jonah says.
He leaps up with Prince in his arms and heads for the ladder again.
Wait,
I say, glancing at my wristwatch. First, we'd better figure out what time it is here. My watch keeps track of the time back home, which is helpful since time passes differently there than it does in fairy tale land. Time in some fairy tales goes faster than the time at home. Sometimes it goes slower.
Is there a clock?
I ask.
There's one.
Jonah points at the clock on the huntsman's desk. The time is 12:25. Since it's daylight outside, it must be 12:25 p.m. I look down at my trusty watch again. 12:25 a.m.
Oh, perfect!
That means that time is passing at the same speed here as it is at home, and that we're exactly 12 hours ahead, or behind, here.
We just have to get back home before Nana wakes up, Jonah says.
I swallow. After the fight we had, Nana would not be happy to find me missing in the morning. No time to waste.
Let's go save Little Red, I cry.
Jonah climbs down the ladder first, with Prince in his arms. Then I go, stepping down, 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 carefully. The ladder sways.
Eep!
Finally, my feet hit the ground. Whew, I am not the hugest fan of heights. There's a horse tied up to the tree beside us. Must be the hunter's. He neighs at me and Jonah. Then I hear a sound way off in the distance that makes all of us, including the horse, jump.
Oh!
What was that?
Jonah asks, his eyes huge. Prince bares his teeth and barks. My heart is thumping hard. That sounded a lot like
a howl. Abby, was that a wolf?
Jonah asks me, looking terrified. Probably not. I lie. Still, I can't hide my shiver. The howling came from somewhere to our left. Thankfully, we're going in the other direction to catch up to Little Red.
Come on,
I tell Jonah, grabbing his arm and leading us away. Prince follows us closely. We don't hear any more howling, so I relax a little bit. The forest path is a hard-packed dirt trail that winds through the enormous trees. Everywhere I look, there are more tree houses above us, in all different colors and shapes, and I don't see any wolves. Yet.
Abby, do you want to know something cool about wolves?
Jonah asks. Sure. Is it that they've now decided to become vegetarians? I ask hopefully.
No.
Jonah says, stepping over a small rock. Is it that they are secretly scared of children? I ask extra hopefully.
Also no, Jonah says, and you're making my thing sound less cool.
Sorry. What is it?
It's that dogs came from wolves,
Jonah announces proudly. Prince scampers alongside us.
Woof!
That's true. I agree, remembering what we learned in science class about animals. Dogs are descended from wolves,
So Prince's Nana was a wolf, Jonah says. I shake my head. More like Prince's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-Nana was a wolf. You'd have to go back a lot of generations in Prince's family to find a wolf. Jonah bends down to scratch Prince behind the ears. I wonder if wolves wag their tails when they're happy, Jonah says, just as Prince wags his tail. I'm not sure I want to see a wolf happy, I say. If a wolf is happy, we're probably not so happy. As we come around a curve in the path, Jonah stops walking. He points ahead. Abby, there she is, he whispers. There's Super Red. I see a red cloak billowing in the breeze. Yay, we found her. Should we warn her about the wolf right now? Jonah asks. I hold a finger up to my lips. Shh, I say. Let's just follow her quietly and see. We don't know exactly where she is in the story. Let's hope she hasn't met the wolf yet. Snap. Oops. I just stepped on a twig. Way to be quiet, Jonah says. Little Red Riding Hood turns around. She's wearing red sneakers that match her cape. Oh, she says nervously, taking a big step back. Hello. We didn't mean to scare you, I say. You didn't. It's just there aren't that many kids in town, she explains. Little Red looks to be a bit younger than I am, and a couple of inches shorter. She has brown skin and dark brown bangs that fall into her eyes. The rest of her hair must be tucked up under the hood. She has huge light brown eyes and a dimple in each cheek when she finally smiles. I smile back. Hi, I say, walking up to her. I'm Abby, and this is my brother Jonah. The dog sniffing your shoes is Prince. Little Red kneels down and scratches Prince behind the ears. She seems less nervous now. I love dogs, she says. I love all animals, really. They're so much easier to understand than people. What's your name? Jonah asks her eagerly. Well, everyone calls me Little Red, she explains, gesturing to her red cloak. But my real name is Lolly, which means red in Hindi. That's why my grandmother made me this red cloak, to go with my name. She pauses and puts a hand to her lips. Am I talking too much? Not at all, Jonah says. I talk a lot. Plus, I knew you would have a color for a name, he adds, giving me a smug smile. You did, I admit. Then I glance back at Little Red, a.k.a. Lolly. You mentioned your grandmother. Are you on your way to see her now? Lolly looks surprised. How do you know that? She asks. Jonah and I exchange a glance. Just a lucky guess, I answer quickly. Yes, I'm going to my grandmother's cottage, Lolly says, but I was just about to stop to pick her some flowers. She points off the path to a little wooded patch where pretty wildflowers are growing. Flowers? I ask, worried. Why are you going to pick flowers? Lolly straightens her hood. I shouldn't show up at her house without flowers. At least, that's what the wolf said. He suggested... Ah! You met the wolf? I yell. Oh, no! Did you tell him where your grandma's house is? She nods, looking confused. I did. So what? She asks. So what? So what? I cry. We have to get there immediately to save your grandmother. We really do. Jonah chimes in and Prince barks. Lolly's eyes widen. Uh-oh. Did I do something wrong? My grandmother says I'm always messing up. Let's just go, I exclaim, taking Lolly's arm. What's the fastest way to your grandmother's house? Well, I usually take the forest path, but I also know a shortcut. Run, I say, and we do. Lolly leads us on a shortcut through the trees. A few minutes later, huffing and puffing, Lolly points to a tree cottage right above us. There it is, Lolly says, out of breath. My grandmother's house. This tree cottage is painted pale blue with white shutters. There are flower boxes in the windows and frilly lace curtains. A white ladder rests against the tree trunk leading up to the doorway. Lolly takes a running leap onto the middle of the ladder, then scoots up two rungs at a time, her basket barely wobbling on her arm. I look at Jonah. He's staring at her with his mouth hanging open. "That was awesome!" he shouts, pumping his fist in the air. "Can you teach me how to do that?" he calls up to Lolly. "Oh, sure," she says, glancing back down with a shy smile. "There's not much for me to do around here except get creative with ladder climbing." Is it my imagination, or is Jonah staring at Little Red Riding Hood with dreamy eyes? Lolly leaps up to the small porch and opens the door. "Little Red, please be careful," I say. "It's fine," she calls down. "Dottie, my grandma, is probably just sleeping." What if the wolf got ahead of us? What if he gobbled up Lolly's grandma, put on her sleeping cap, climbed into bed, and is just waiting to pounce? I take a deep breath. We have to be brave. I climb up the ladder next, as fast as I can, Jonah and Prince behind me. The three of us follow Lolly inside the cottage. My heart is pounding. It's dark inside. The curtains are drawn, and I have to squint to see. There's a stone fireplace with a dying fire. Prince immediately curls up on the braided rug next to the fireplace and falls asleep. Our dog can nap anywhere. There's also a big overstuffed recliner and two smaller chairs in front of the fireplace. A white cane leans against one chair. Across the room is a bed, and there's a lump in the bed. Someone is under the quilt. I freeze. Is it the grandma or the wolf? Please be the grandma. Please be the grandma.
"Little Red, is that you?"
A very gruff voice calls from the bed.
"Don't answer," Jonah whispers to Lolly. "It could be the wolf."
I take a tiny step closer to the bed. No way am I getting too close. I squint at the figure under the covers. I wish there was a light or a lantern, anything to help me see better. Someone, something, is definitely under the quilt and wearing a pink cap. I can see the neckline of a frilly lace bathrobe where the quilt is pulled up. Is it Little Red's grandma? Or the wolf in disguise? Grandma? Wolf? Grandma? Wolf? Jonah pokes me with his elbow.
"Abby, that is Little Red's grandmother, right?"
"Maybe," I say. "It's definitely my grandmother," Lolly says. She takes off her hood and shakes out her long dark hair. I know what Dottie looks like.
"You call your grandma by her first name?"
Jonah asks. "Dottie is the Hindi word for my dad's mother," Lolly explains. "But my dad passed away when I was 2. I'm so sorry," I say.
"I said, is that you, Little Red?"
The figure in the bed shouts and slowly starts to sit up.
"I don't think that's the wolf," I whisper to Jonah. "The wolf was at least pretending to be nice in the story."
"Yeah," says Jonah. "Look at the ears sticking out around the pink cap," I say, inching closer to the bed. "Way too small and round to be a wolf's ears. And look at the arms coming out from under the quilt. Not hairy at all." "Wolves are furry all over." Feeling more certain, I take another step closer. "And she doesn't have any teeth. This can't be the wolf."
"How dare you!"
Dottie shouts at me, sitting up all the way and whipping off her sleeping cap. I jump back, even though she's not the wolf. Dottie is a lot older than Nana. She looks taller, too. She has brown eyes and brown skin like Little Red, and the same dimples in each cheek, but her cheeks are thinner. Her black hair has some gray through it and is up in a braided bun. "She's definitely human," I say. "She's still scary, though."
"You are the rudest children I have ever met,"
Dottie bellows.
"Of course I'm human, and I just don't have my dentures in. I wasn't expecting company."
But not having hairy arms is a compliment, Jonah points out.
Dottie leans forward and scowls at us.
You are very rude.
I'm sorry, I say quickly. We didn't mean it like that.
You are a disgrace, she says.
Oof. I take another step back. So does Jonah. I glance at Lolly and see that her shoulders are a bit slumped.
Where's my muffin?
Dottie snaps at Lolly.
Bring me my muffin, and it better be good,
she warns. Dottie, I think you're going to like the muffins today, Lolly says, forcing a smile. I made a batch this morning, and I put in extra blueberries like you like. Doesn't the smell make your mouth water? Lolly reaches into her basket and pulls out a blueberry muffin. She places it on a napkin and hands it to Dottie.
Can she chew without teeth? Jonah whispers to me.
I have no idea, I say.
You fools! Dottie says to us. I've been gumming muffins for years, but I will put in my denture since you are being so rude about it.
She reaches into a glass of water on her nightstand, pops in a set of bright white teeth, and gives us a fake smile. Then she takes a bite of the muffin. Dottie wrinkles her nose.
This muffin is overbaked.
It is? Lolly says, her face falling. I'm sorry.
Can I have one?
Jonah asks, practically batting his eyes at Lolly.
No, you cannot!
Dottie squawks.
Are you sick in bed?
She shakes her head.
The entitlement of kids today.
What's entitlement? Jonah asks me.
It means you're all spoiled brats,
Dottie says. I glance at Lolly. If she's bothered by her mean grandmother, she's not showing it.
Dottie, shall I heat up the muffin for you? She offers.
Humph, Dottie says. It'll just get even more overbaked.
She eyes Little Red.
Come closer, girl.
Lolly rushes over to the bed.
Yes, Dottie?
What is with that messy hair of yours?
Dottie demands.
And why is your cloak so wrinkled? How dare you come over here looking so sloppy? In my day, people dressed up nicely to see their elders.
I'm sorry, Lolly says again. My cloak got tangled as I skipped. I'll iron it later. It'll be as smooth as the day you made it for me.
Dottie waves her hand dismissively.
And you too,
she barks, staring at me and Jonah.
Why on earth are you in your pajamas in the middle of the day? Disgraceful!
She shakes her head.
Children are no good nincompoops who can't do a thing right. Make messes all day long.
She glances at Prince, napping on the rug.
And just look at that lazy mutt!
How dare she call Prince lazy? Or a mutt!
Though, I guess he is a mutt. I'll let that part slide.
Would you like some tea, Dottie?
Little Red asks brightly. I think she's trying to change the subject. I hope it works.
Of course I want tea,
Dottie snaps.
Why would you ask such a silly question?
Dottie, I read in the Howlton Gazette the other day that keeping a positive outlook does wonders for your health.
Lolly takes the thermos out of her basket and pours out the hot tea into the lid cup. Dottie scowls.
Oh, hush with that ridiculous nonsense and give me my tea. It had better have just the amount of cream and sugar I like, she mutters.
Of course it does, Dottie,
Little Red says, carefully handing her grandma the cup.
Well, I don't know how you could possibly know how I like my tea when you rarely visit me,
Dottie grumbles.
You should come every day to bring me dessert and tea and fluff my pillow. But no, you only visit occasionally, and let's not even talk about my daughter-in-law, your mother. She never comes.
Gee, I wonder why.
Now, Dottie, Lolly says, frowning, you know that Mom has to work to make enough money to keep a roof over our heads and feed us.
That is no excuse,
Dottie says, taking another sip of tea. She scowls again.
You dawdled on the way over, didn't you?
She says accusingly, pointing a finger at Little Red.
This tea isn't hot enough.
Too hot would burn your lips, Lolly says. You know my mom and I want you to move in with us. If you did, your tea would always be piping hot. I could bring it to you straight from the kitchen to your bedroom in our house.
Hush, Dottie says. I will never leave my cottage, and you are horrible for asking me to.
She shakes her head.
Overbaked muffins and lukewarm tea. Rumpf! Just what a Dottie needs when she's ailing. What a bad granddaughter you are!
Lolly hangs her head, but she rushes over to the bed to fluff Dottie's pillows anyway. I feel awful for her. Poor Lolly, I whisper to Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah whispers back. She doesn't deserve this. She's so sweet.
Is Jonah blushing? Yes, his cheeks are pink. I can practically see cartoon hearts shooting out of his scrawny chest as he sneaks another peek at Lolly. I think Jonah has his first crush.
Dottie is horrible, Jonah adds.
With a capital H, I whisper back.
She's making me wish we hadn't saved her, he says.
Jonah, I admonish him.
I'm kidding. Kind of.
We're so lucky that our Nana is so great, Jonah adds thoughtfully. She's always nice to us. I nod, feeling a little lump in my throat as I remember the fight I had with Nana. Suddenly, there's a loud banging on the door.
Knock, knock, knock!
My back stiffens.
Knock, knock, knock!
Ah! I know who that is! The wolf is here!